This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show. You're not hearing Dean Holland's voice right now, but we are hopeful he will join us soon. The joy of technology. Sometimes things don't work so perfectly. I, of course, am broadcasting from my home studio in Prince Edward County, looking out on a gray day. It's been a number of gray days. I've been reading about the rain that some of you will have been experiencing this past week. You know, deluges and 100 millimeters, 200 millimeters, flooding. This is mostly southwestern Ontario where I guess all that was happening. So feel free to share your rain experiences if you wish to give us a call later. But I have no rain experiences to share. I only have continuing frustration with drought. I think we had a total of about 8 millimeters this week, and that came in drops you could count. I mean, when it rained, it was like, oh, look, rain, and then it would stop. It was very sporadic and unfortunately not nearly enough. So we are very, who cares about the lawn? We're getting to the end of the vegetable season, but I have been watering my deciduous shrubs and trees somewhat throughout the summer, but now it's all about the evergreens. And we'll talk more about the importance of keeping our evergreens moist. But in the meantime, let me share with you the phone numbers, and I would love to hear from you. We would all love to hear from you. Your tips, your tricks, your troubles, your happy moments. We're all about the garden and what's going on in your gardens. I've got some interesting stories about insects and birds, if you're interested, in the local calling area of the GTA. The phone number is 416-360-0740. And outside the Toronto area, within the province of Ontario, the number is 866-740-4740. So like I said, happy to hear from you and hear what's going on in your gardens. I was just telling Owen and Joe, who are standing by in studio in Toronto in Liberty Village, about standing at the window this morning, making myself a cup of coffee. And there are some crows that, and it's a family of crows. I mentioned the other day when I said I had seen a murder, and that murder was back today. So big crows, I mean, all crows are big, but the adults are clearly much bigger than the young ones, though the young ones are large as well. So they're all fooling around in the bird bath, which looks silly because they're so big, bigger than the bird bath. And a young red-tailed hawk flew in and landed right beside them on the lawn. And the crows looked at the hawk and then they shrugged their shoulders and carried on playing in the bird bath. And the hawk sat there and sat there and sat there. It even came in with a bit of a screech, thinking it was going to scare them. And they were so disdainful of the hawk. Finally, when the crows flew away, the hawk followed them off, chasing them, making all kinds of noises. But, it was interesting. Usually most animals all go paralyzed when they see a hawk, but not those crows. They were ready for, hey, you're going to scare us. No way, no way. Before I say another word, I have given you the phone numbers, but I do want to share a couple of things that are going on. One is Caroline DeVries of Flower Bulbs Are Us wanted me to remind you that if you wanted to get a 10% discount on any bulb orders from her website, so the website is flowerbulbsareus.com, the secret code word is Charlie. You can spell it any way you want. No, you can't. It's Charlie. But today is, well, not today. September 30th is the last day. This is the last Saturday that I will mention the bulb discount that Carolyn is offering to the listeners, because she is a pretty big fan of the show and she's a very big fan of beautiful gardens. So you want to beautify your garden. Now's your chance. Get those quality bulbs in, you know, order them up, get them in the ground, and just be so proud next spring when they all come up and you're like, oh, I'm such a gardener. Now, I get it that tulips can be challenging if you're in squirrel country, but there's so many choices besides tulips. And remember as well, there's little species tulips. You can tuck them in under other things. So you don't have to just, you know, sort of fight with some of the varmints. You can also work with bulbs that will be, you know, beautiful, and, you know, allium come to mind, fritillaria come to mind. None of these are bulbs that any creature is going to dig up. Even daffodils, I find, you know, the chipmunks here have been really enjoying redesigning my bulbs, but only the tulips. They pretty much leave all the other ones alone. I haven't seen anything else pulled up besides the tulips. And, you know, it's the old take a bite and then throw it over to the side. Okay, so coming up, we're now into autumn. It is, the next season has begun. And of course, with that, the horticultural societies are busy with all kinds of shows and events and things going on. So mark on your calendar right now, while you're thinking about it, Monday, October 6th, the Agent Court Garden Club is meeting and also putting together a flower show. And that's always so much fun because it's a competition. Obviously, it's a show. It's got rules. If you're interested in participating, you've got to get in touch with the Agent Court Garden Club to learn what this show is all about. But yeah, these are judged shows and they're all set up before the meeting, and then the judges go through, and then after the meeting, everybody stands around and oohs and ahs at what the show has come, you know, people have brought together. They do meet at the Knox United Christian Education Center at 2575 Midland Avenue. That's at Shepherd Avenue. They meet at 7:30 p.m. That's Monday, October 6th. And the speaker is Michael Erdman. He is bringing you new houseplants as his event. And I believe we are being joined by my cohort, my Robin to my Batman. Is that you, Dean?
I am here, yes. How are you, Charlie?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I, you know, it's a foggy morning where I am, but I don't know if that's good for the plants or not.
Yeah, not bad. Are you in Brantford?
I am in Brantford today. Yeah.
Okay. So that explains it. You've been busy presenting your musical.
Yeah. The members of the Rat Pack show were finishing our second week in Port Dover today. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to have a show yesterday, but they had a huge power outage in Haldimand County. Oh. And so by the time I arrived down in Port Dover yesterday afternoon, all the power was out. So unfortunately, they had to send all sorts of people home. All the businesses were closed. Traffic lights were out. You couldn't get gas. Wow. So it was a big deal. Yeah.
Wow. That is, I thought you were going to say they had a huge rainfall, you know, deluge. The skies opened because there has been some pretty big rain going on down your way, I believe.
Yes, we did have some on my drive back a couple of nights ago. We did have a lot of rain. Yes, I think
Tuesday,
that was Wednesday. Well, yeah, I think Wednesday, we had it here Wednesday. I think I'm going to say Wednesday night. Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what rain is. Don't get me started.
Yeah, it's pretty darn wet here. Have you given out the numbers yet?
I have, but would you like to do them again? And then I have one more announcement.
I can do them again. Yes, if you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Toll free, anywhere else in Ontario, including Brantford or Port Dover, any other places that you might live, 1-866-740-4740. And I have to tell you, Charlie, that during the run of the show, I have had a number of people come up after the show saying that they are listeners of The Garden Show. Yeah,
sweet.
Every Saturday. Yeah, number.
I love it.
So I have a number of people who have, I'm passing on hellos to you from, because they listen all the time.
Nice. You remind me of Frank when you say that. Frank Proctor used to do the show with me, and he used to consistently have shout outs. Oh, yesterday when I was in the bar, I was sitting with, you know, Irene and Ted were at the next table. They were so much fun. Like, he'd go on and on about it. I'd be like, Frank, you know, like, what about your dry cleaner? Did you want to say hi to him too? You know, like, would you stop? This is the Garden Show. Anyway, it was very funny. Oh yeah, I went through my Tim Hortons and the guy gave me a banana. Oh, I love that guy. It's Frank, shut up.
That's lovely. Well, and I actually work with people who, one of the guys I'm working with, Derek, he knows Frank from years ago, from 20 years ago, because he worked with Di Proctor. And so, of course, with Frank's wife, as I did. And that's how I met Frank many years ago as well. So, so Frank is well known in the theatrical community as well as the broadcasting community. Yes.
Yeah, he did some. He definitely did some acting as well as a lot of radio. Mm-hmm. He started in radio as a very young man and had some absolutely hilarious stories to tell us. And next time you and I are in Toronto, we're going to see if we can get Frank to come and join us.
That would be very, very delightful.
Yeah, because he's always happy to get out of town. He's in Hamilton these days. So he's always happy to come and visit. So listen, just before we have to go, should we go to break? And then I do want to just do this announcement and then we're done that.
Fair enough. We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. And this is, we are, my goodness, this is our last weekend of September. We're going in, by the time we meet again next week, it'll be, I think, what is it, the 4th of October, I think, will be next weekend. And that changes the gardening landscape, for sure.
Well, it
could. No.
It just depends on what's going on in the weather. I mean,
gotcha.
Right. We're certainly starting to see some beautiful fall color here, and probably where you are, you're driving quite a bit. Same thing. It's kind of overnight. There's pops of orange and
Yeah. And I'm seeing lots more leaves on the ground as well.
Sure. Early defoliation.
Flowing around.
Very, very expected when we've got weather that the plants are just not that happy with. It's just been too.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I know we've got callers on the line, but you have a quick announcement.
I do want to just, Heather Sinopoli sent me a note from the Riverdale Horticultural Society inviting everyone who's interested, either in person or via Zoom, to participate in their upcoming meeting, which is Wednesday, October the 8th. It's called a hybrid meeting. It's at 7:00 in the evening. For information to participate, of course, through Zoom, or the address of the actual meeting, you would go to info@riverdalehorticultural.ca. But I just want to share with you who's the speaker, because it is rather unusual. And I might even zoom in on this one because it does look really interesting. The speaker is Lorraine Johnson. And of course, Lorraine Johnson is a well-known author. She's Toronto-based, but I'm sure everybody who's listening has heard of Lorraine. She's been a very big champion of native plants for long before it was trendy to be a native plant champion. So she's been touting and writing about. She has a book called Easy to Grow Native Plants for 20, 30 years. But her topic on Wednesday, October the 8th, is actually called Unsettling the Garden: A Non-Indigenous Gardener's Reflections on Landscape, Reconciliation, and Relationship Building. So I was like, wow, that sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In this illustrated talk, Lorraine explores the garden in the context of reconciliation and land sovereignty, looking at the ways gardening traditions are tied to settler colonialism and the role of native plants and restorative land care in restitution and relationship building. So yeah, good on Lorraine. I may just tune in for that one because it's very, very interesting.
It does sound very interesting. And again, when is this happening?
That is on Wednesday, October the 8th at 7 p.m.
Okay, a week this Wednesday. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Okay, we have our first caller on the line who is also a first-time caller. It's John from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, John. And John, I'm going to give you your garden wings, okay?
Here.
Okay. Wait.
There we are. What do you got for Charlie there, John?
I'm aggressive vegetable gardener, and I grow indeterminate tomatoes both on the ground and also in 5-gallon pails.
Mm-hmm.
And the blight always seems to take one or two plants that are in the ground, but they really hit the pots hard.
Oh, yeah.
And all my pots are, they're all finished 2 weeks ago at least.
Right.
But the in the ground red tomatoes look great still. A couple are suffering, but that's it. What can I do with the soil that was in the pot? Usually I just use it for top dressing on the lawn.
Sure, that would work. That
can
would
I
work.
Compost it?
Pardon?
Can I compost it? Can I dig it into the vegetable beds?
You can, but I probably wouldn't if you plan on planting any of the Solanacea plants in that vegetable garden next year. So Solanaceas being the tomatoes, eggplants, yeah, peppers. So the blight is a fungus. The spores are in the soil. And so keeping that soil in the same area where you've, you know, keeping soil that clearly is infested with blight with the intention of planting more tomatoes next year is not a good idea. But yes, excellent. Put it on the lawn, put it into flower beds. You could, if you have like a homemade compost, maybe put some of the soil in there because it'd get well mixed up in there and likely you would lose the fungus along the way.
Where does the spores come from? Because for the past couple of years, I've been buying commercial potting soil, no compost, just straight from the bag to try and avoid it. Mm-hmm. And I've used both of the big brands that you find in the big box stores. So you buy the large bales of it, and the results are pathetic.
It's not in the potting mix. Don't be concerned that the potting mix is causing your problem. I think that's what's happening. What so often happens when plants are under stress, dormant insects, diseases will rear their ugly heads when we don't expect it. We don't even know where it comes from. It could blow in from your neighbor. It could come in from, you know, having spent years under the bark of some tree nearby. Like it's just stressed plants send out a signal saying, I'm under stress. Come and, you know, I'm vulnerable, basically. And we know that this happens. There's all kinds of chemical signals in nature that we can't hear or see, but they certainly can. And stuff gets communicated. So anything, any vegetables, particularly in tomatoes, are heavy feeders, love their water. Make sure you're keeping your fertilizer pretty consistently on those. I wouldn't even hesitate to put some organic matter, but of course the challenge is the sterility into those pots just to make it a little easier for them to be less stressed. Potting mix dries out very quickly. So you know what would probably work, John, just thinking about this? I've seen recently in the stores, they're selling wool from lambs. When the lambs are sheared in the spring, some of the wool is not good enough quality to make threads, etc., and they'll sell it very inexpensively. I know the Urban Nature store sells it, and they'll sell it for birds to use for nest building, but you can also use it, and it would work well in your pots of potting mix because it's a great water retention holder, plus it's got organic matter all over it. So maybe something like that next year will help, but for now, put the soil back onto the lawn is your safest place. Thank you so much for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you.
Okay, so it looks like Dean is talking, but I'm not hearing Dean. So yeah, that was kind of weird. I was getting some weird feedback. I don't know if anybody else was hearing that, but here, let's just head off to see what's going on in Markham. We've got Dale on the line. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, and good morning, Dean, maybe.
He's listening.
I was given a bougainvillea in a pot early May, full of blooms, gorgeous. Mm. It was still quite cold at night, so I kept it inside for 2 weeks. Mm. Within 3 days, every bloom dropped off. You could just look at it, and it would drop. Within a week, all the leaves had dropped off. Sticks. So I put it outside, and over that summer, which would have been 2024, it grew some leaves and got bigger. So we brought it in, dropped everything. I got sticks. It grew a few leaves and stuff. So this year we put it out, and it got bigger, and it grew lots of leaves. So it's been transferred into now an urn, and it has like a little trellis at the back. Well, 2 weeks ago, the frickin' thing started to bloom. blooms. Now, what do I do with it? When do I bring it in? And I'm just going to have sticks again, right?
Well, yeah, you've clearly had issues bringing it in. So when you've brought it in, Dale, is it out in full sun right now?
Yeah, I'm in a spot where I don't get a lot of sun. So okay. It gets maybe 3 hours in the afternoon.
All right. So this is relevant to you, but to other people that might be listening. If you have tropical plants that you hope to bring in your home for the winter to overwinter them indoors, get them out of the sun now. Move them, keep them outside, but move them into some shade, even half day shade, partial shade. Get them so that they are more attuned to less light. Because no matter what happens, when you bring those plants indoors, there is less light getting inside your house than there is outside your house. And that's why they drop their leaves. They go into shock. The leaves that grow outside in the sun are completely tuned physiologically, botanically, for full sun. You bring them in, they suddenly go, whoa, where'd all that sun go? They drop their leaves with the intention, not like they're thinking about this, but what happens is they grow new leaves, and the new leaves they grow are for the new circumstances, the indoor the house circumstances. So to avoid that, start getting your plants into the shade now. When you bring them into the house, clean them all up, give them a wash, soapy water, all that important stuff, drain it all out, and put them in the brightest possible location you have in your house, right in the window, south, west, no curtains, whatever you've got, the brightest spot. Or consider supplemental lighting. You can get a nice little spotlight, a plant light, and use that 12 hours a day. Like, remember, these are tropical plants. They're used to the equator. They want 12 hours of bright and 12 hours of dark. And if you can do that, you probably won't lose the leaves and you'll probably get more flowers.
Okay. I mean, it goes into a solarium where it's right in the window and it really, you know, it's more or less, as you say, it's coming through a window, but it's getting the same, it's right beside the deck where it was on. So it's the same amount of light. So should I be starting this transition now? I mean, or should I be waiting?
Oh, no, start transitioning it now because we're at the end of September into lower light outside and wait and take 2 weeks outside in lower light. And then you'll probably be about the right time to be bringing it indoors.
Okay, great. So thank you very much for the call there, Dale. We do have to run to break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. And we hope you're, would love for you to give us a call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. And we have John on the line from Mississauga. Welcome back to The Garden Show, John.
Oh, no, don't worry, Dean, I listen every Saturday, but sometimes I don't want to bother you guys with all my questions.
You're never a bother,
Dean,
John.
Good morning, Charlie. Charlie, I have the Rose of Sharon. I have half a dozen of them. And they have a lot of buds, hundreds of buds. But they're not flowering. So I was wondering whether it's time to start the fall work and start trimming.
Oh, I wouldn't give up on them yet, John. It's still September.
Okay.
You know, and even if they don't, I mean, I've had that happen. So first off, have these Rose of Sharon bloomed in the past?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yes, Charlie. They used to be lovely, especially when they're all of them flowers, you know.
And I have a feeling, John, are they double flowers? They're the real fluffy flowers?
Funny enough, my wife just said that. She said, especially the double one.
Yeah, exactly. Women are so clever.
I have one that's that's really, you know, but that's what I was wondering, whether, you know, I just wait maybe till the end of October because, you know, that's when I start, you know, pruning them maybe to, right now they're around maybe around 6 feet, Charlie, at least, and I like to put them maybe around 3-4 feet.
Sure. So, John, you could do that later, but I'd wait till November if you can, or later October, or you could do that next spring. You can just wait until next spring and do all that trimming. Because remember, Rose of Sharon are one of the last shrubs to break out with their buds. So they look, they're dormant. I mean, you can get to a lot of things before you have to get to your Rose of Sharon because they're so slow in the spring. But just mention to your wife, the reason I mentioned double flowers is because I've had that myself where double flowering Rose of Sharon put out hundreds of buds. They even crack color. Like you can see they're beautiful purple underneath those green little, you know, covers, the little buds, but they never actually open. And so winter comes and I had a few of them that did that every fall, teased me like crazy, but never opened a bud. And I gave them away. I just dug them up and sent them off to somebody else because I threatened them for several falls. And then I said, that's it. You're done. I have no more patience. But this year for you...
I like to do it in the fall, Charlie, because to tell you the truth, my patience is covering some of them. Mm. And but anyhow, so I'll wait till November then, eh?
Yeah, I would wait. And just, I remember this year's a bit, every year's a different. And this year we're seeing, some clear environmental things going on where plants aren't doing normal.
If I start telling you, first we didn't have no tomatoes. And lately I picked up two pails, you know what I mean? Honest. And my wife's been, we've been jarring them and so on and so forth. And the apple trees, falling on the ground, but it's been a weird year for me,
It has. Every new challenges.
Anyhow,
it's nice hearing from you.
Nice talking to you always.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for calling.
Thanks very much for the call there, John. Charlie, I got to tell you, I mentioned you in, I had a dinner engagement last week, and as an arrival gift, I took a pot of mums that were just cracking. So I learned that term from you last
cracking
week, and I told my hostess. I said, so apparently, in buying cracking mums, I did a very, according to Charlie Dobbin, a very unmanly thing.
Good for you. That's the way to do it.
Well, just it's quite fun if you can just see the color peeking through, almost to the point where you're not exactly sure what it's going to be. If it's going to be yellow or white, you kind of go, what's it going to be?
Exactly. Well, a friend of mine gave me, she was digging up her garden way back in May or June. She gave me a pot with some mums in the pot. Well, of course, it's been way too dry and way too hot at my house to plant anything. So I kept the pot in the shade with some other plants, watering probably, very consistently every day, every second day to keep them alive. I finally planted these mums in my garden and I thought they were going to be pink because I thought she only had pink mums. And then the buds started to crack color and they were like brown or rusty color. And I was like, I was expecting pink. I wasn't expecting like brown. So then I was like, whatever, it's fine. And then they opened and then they're kind of orange. And then in the sun, they fade to a peachy. So they almost do look pink. So they actually turned out okay. So sort of rusty buds that become very peachy once the sun.
It actually sounds like a very, very interesting color of mums.
It's pretty. It's actually worked out nicely. You never know, right? When you plant something green into your garden, what it's going to turn into.
No, you never know. You know what? We would love for you to give us a call. We got lots of room on the lines. Don't wait until the last few minutes because then we might not be able to get to you. So give us a call now, 416-360-0740 is the Toronto number. If you live anywhere outside Toronto, but still within Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Our operator Owen is standing by, ready to take your call. Yeah, he is there. He's looking a little bit, we don't want him to fall asleep at the wheel. So
he looks so dapper today.
He does. In his red jacket.
No, he's got a cardigan on.
Oh, it's a cardigan.
And a new haircut. Unbelievable. Yes.
I think
so
he shaved
cute.
Too. He's did everything.
I know. He's smiling. He's grinning.
And look at that. The phone. I can see the phone just started ringing already. There we are.
Everybody wants a video call with Owen now.
Okay, we have a first-time caller on the line. We have Laura, and she's calling from Southampton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Laura.
Thank you very much.
Morning.
Laura, I'm going to give you your garden wings, okay?
There you go.
Oh,
sweet.
Thank you.
Welcome.
What do you got for Charlie there, Laura?
Well, I've been reading recently about a trend towards bare root planting of new trees and bushes. So when you buy them, the idea, excuse me, is to take all the dirt off. Often I find they're root bound anyway, and even wash them off. So you've just got bare roots, and then plant them in your hole with the roots spread out. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be better for initial root growth. And I'm just wondering what you thought about that.
Okay. What do I think? I love
these questions. I love any question that I can see Charlie just, you know, formulating.
Formulating. I think that bare root planting was the tradition. I mean, pots with soil were not a thing up until the last 40 years. Before that, it was all bare root. And we only planted bare root plants in this early spring when they were dormant, or the late fall when they were dormant. So, you know, the story about who is it, Johnny Appleseed on his horse and buggy, spreading apple trees from all over the northeastern United States after growing them from seeds in his farm, wherever that was, I forget. And those trees were only taken around to be sold and planted very early in the spring, typically, or late in the fall. And there's no way they were in pots of soil. There were no pots, right? There might have been a little burlap. So if you do want to do that, Laura, would it be better for root regeneration and root growth? There is an argument to be said that if you trim the roots, and this is true, if you take a plant out of a pot and you see it's root bound, you want to slice the roots. You want to loosen up that network of bound together, you know, netted roots, because they will not grow outside of that pot shape they're in without you doing root cutting. So that's where that goes back to what you were saying. Like, will it promote root growth? Yes. When we slice roots and, or we take away the soil and we finger our fingers through and do root damage, we promote root growth. It's perfectly makes perfect sense. If you're doing it though, make sure you're early spring or late fall. Don't do any of that ripping and tearing the soil away and messing with the roots like on a hot day in June or July. It would be very detrimental on the plant. It would be very stressful on the plant. Still, you would, if you are planting in July out of a pot, you would still do that root severing, but you'd still get that plant, you know, into the ground. For me, things I've learned over the years, I dig my hole first. I fill the hole with water first, make sure it's really saturated, take my plant either out of the pot or, you know, whatever form it came in, make my roots as nice and spread out, as you said, into that nice moist hole, filling again with good soil. I use a root stimulator, like a mycorrhiza root stimulating amendment. It's a liquid. I mix it up. The one I use is called Root Rescue, but there's others out there. And then, yes, stake the plant so that it can be stabilized if it's a windy location, and let the roots grow. Water as necessary. So I don't know if I'd necessarily make all plants bare root on principle, but yes, there is a tradition again behind it, and dormant plants are fine with bare root. If hopefully that helps answer your question, Laura.
Yes, okay. I have three bushes that I was going to plant this weekend, so I guess it's not quite late fall, but they're not quite dormant. But I'll make sure that the roots are at least spread out. I wondered if cutting the roots would shock the plant more than kind of just taking the dirt off of the root ball and spreading the roots rather than cutting them if they were root bound.
Well, I think, Laura, you'll find that if you do remove the soil and try and spread the roots, some will get broken in the process. There's no way you're going to keep every root perfectly intact. So another suggestion is if you are finding that the roots are breaking, better to use your pruners and make nice sharp cuts on the roots, clean cuts, as opposed to ragged, jagged cuts on the roots. And yes, any pruning of roots stimulates more root growth. So don't hesitate to do that.
Right. Okay, thanks very much for the call there, Laura, and do not be a stranger.
Yeah.
Just a
Charlie, before we go to break, why is it important to have that clean cut? What is the downside of having the broken, jagged cut?
Healing. I mean, you can take it back to animals or yourself, right? Think if you do a paper cut, how much it hurts, but it's such a clean cut and it just puts itself back together and it heals up pretty quick versus, say, a broken piece of glass and you've got a cut and it's all kind of ragged and jagged. The scab isn't nearly as clean and tidy and it takes longer to heal.
Okay. So the clean cuts are, okay, very good. Yeah. Okay, give us a call, 416-360-0740, 1-866-740-4740, and we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. We are back here on The Garden Show. And you know what? Of course, the the lines have been blowing up now since we've been talking about, you know, Owen's clean-shaven face and his red cardigan. So let's get to our next caller. We have Rob from Sterling. Welcome to The Garden Show, Rob.
Thank you. How are you this morning?
Good, good. How are you?
Great. What do
you
got? Welcome back.
Yeah, great. Welcome back.
I was listening to the caller before talking about his tomatoes, and I thought, I could chime in a bit on the reason for mycorrhiza with tomatoes is because it helps with the blossom end rot and helps the calcium get into the plant. Mm-hmm. If the calcium gets into the plant, then your Brix will go up. And if the Brix goes up, you're happier because you've got better tasting tomatoes that'll keep better and
more to harvest too.
Not necessarily. The tomatoes doesn't seem to be affected greatly by the harvest, but the quality of the harvest.
Well, yeah, no, but as I say, if you don't have blossom end rot, because that it makes a tomato completely inedible. More to pack away that way. Yeah, so good point. And you, I remember, called us a few weeks ago, and you were talking about being a garlic grower and brought up the subject of mycorrhiza at the time. So you're obviously a tomato grower as well.
I try everything. against the years, you know, you've heard about these growers in Central America that can successfully grow 100 crops every year, and we struggle with 3 or 4. So, yes. I think we got to look out and start learning from other people, because what we're doing is kind of stupid, I think.
Yes. Well, and rotating is so important as well. We tend to, you know, put our tomatoes in the same spot because it's nice and sunny, or our garlic in the same spot because it's so well drained or whatever. So that, you know, it can be challenging depending on, you know, the space you're working with as well.
Mm-hmm. Johnson Sue, have you heard of that bioreactor?
No.
Okay, great. Let everybody go research. Dave Johnson out of University of New Mexico and his wife, her last name is Sue, she's Japanese, they figured out a way to create a compost pile that you would never have to turn. And then what you learn, or what I learned studying making quality compost, is that if you let the pile go anaerobic, then everything goes negative very quickly. That means you've got a baby this compost pile, and that's virtually impossible. Like, are you up at 3 a.m. with your temperature probe, you know, checking to see that you got the right moisture level on your compost pile? Whereas, they just figured out how you could do this, and you create a very high quality substrate. Cool. And
right. And so for me, like, I'm not far from you. You're in Sterling. I'm south of you, on the other side of the south of the 401. I haven't got enough moisture to keep my compost pile moist. Yeah, so that's been a real challenge this year for me, is I've got lots of compostables, but sitting there bone dry, like in a big pile of dryness. But
our future. What's happening is, as we cut down the trees north of 7, we're all losing the moisture because it's the trees that bring the rain, right?
Right. Okay. You want to hear something interesting? I know that I should probably be chattering on too much. Well, about this, but I heard, and it kind of makes sense. As Toronto has grown as a city with lots and lots of tall buildings and lots of concrete, Toronto is now acting as a mountain range directly west of us. So that as the rain comes from the west, it hits Toronto like a mountain, and we're living in the lee of that mountain. So the rain is ending up in Montreal. It's dumping in Toronto. It's dumping in Montreal, and there's not a lot in between. It was kind of an interesting concept, and I thought there could be some real value to this, because where I live now used to be the tomato growing capital of North America. And I don't know how they did that with the water levels the way they are this year. You know, they weren't irrigating 100 years ago the way we are.
You need the forest because it's called evapotranspiration. That's what draws the moisture over the lakes inland.
Sure.
So as we lose the tree cover, it's a
that's
problem.
Everything.
So that's an incentive for us. But anyway, finally, one quick last point. Watch for chlorine levels in your fertilizers. Mm-hmm. There are products out there that are combining mycorrhiza with high levels of chlorine. Now, there's magnesium chloride in seawater, and there's a degree of that, and that's fine. Chlorine, being an anion, is really going to drive energy with our high calcium soils.
Right. For sure. Yeah. Well, and chlorine in general is not a happy place for fungus to grow either. So, good. Okay. Good. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks very much for the call there, Rob.
Okay. Bye now.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller. We have Barb on the line from Ayton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Barb.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Sorry to bother you again, but I misplaced the paper where I had written down what you had said when I called a month or so ago. I was just wondering about silver lace vine. How much do I cut that down now in the fall and when?
Okay. If you can wait, even you're in Ayton. You could do it now on a dry day. Like, don't do it on a cloudy day. Okay. You could cut it down to about half its size that it is now.
Because it's so huge, like it's really overtaken.
Okay. Well, then wait a couple of weeks and then cut it back by more than half. They're pretty tough plants, but you want it to be pretty dormant. Preferably, you want to have a frost, like a 0 or 1 or 2 degree night to really slow and shut things down. And at that point, you could go to town and probably do, remove 80% of the plant if you want. But don't do that until it's gone dormant. Right now, it is still growing. And if you do radical pruning on it, it's likely to kill it. You could prune, but don't do anything major until it's dormant. All righty?
Okay, good. Thanks very much for the call there, Barb. We do have to run to next break. We'll be back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
You know we are back here on The Garden Show, and my goodness, an hour flies by. I got to tell you, every Saturday that I'm with you, Charlie, an hour flies by, and I always learn so much, it's just so much fun.
It is. Thank you, and thanks for joining us. I know you're a busy guy. You're all, all over the map, but you still manage to get in one way or the other, and I'm so happy to have you.
I really do try, because I really, really do. This has been a joy and a half to be with you for, it's been almost 4 years now.
Really? I know. I'm going to go back and see when your anniversary is, and we'll pop a cork, I think.
Yeah. There we are.
Exactly.
Okay. And we have, a caller on the line who's been with us also for many, many years, Maureen from North York. Welcome back to the Garden Show, Maureen.
Oh, I'm glad to be back. I've had a little bit of a health challenge, but I'm getting better. And
good.
One thing I want to thank Charlie, one of the things that has really cheered me up was that fairy rose I asked you about at the end of July has 20 roses on it. I did what you told me to. And so now I'm ready, I guess. Can I put it in the ground when it is fully blooming?
Sure. Technically, no, but you could. Make sure you put it in full sun. Full sun, good soil, well-drained, fertile soil.
So I want to thank you for that. And I also want to thank you. They're running the Healing Gardens again.
I noticed.
I recommend that show to everyone because we can learn so much from that. They had the one about forest bathing on this past Tuesday and Monday. And, listen to that show. That's a wonderful series. You can learn a lot about healing from being in nature.
And exactly. So everybody we talked with, that's what they had, a story about how nature had healed them or someone they knew. So Maureen's referring to a TV series called Healing Gardens, available on Vision TV. And yes, like you said, it's either Monday, Tuesday, I'm not sure. But if you get Vision and you haven't seen 15 episodes, excellent and so fun to make. And I wish we were making more of them.
And you did a great job, Charlie. You did a really good job on that.
Thank you.
Well, you did
thank
a good
you.
Job on this show, too. Been listening for many, many years, and will continue to.
Yes, thanks, Maureen.
Thanks very much for the call, Maureen. Good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Let's
be
go
healthy.
To our next caller. We have Barb from Burlington. Welcome to the Garden Show, Barb.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, what do you got for Charlie there, Barb?
Well, I'm calling on behalf of a cousin of mine who I was visiting, and he had purple lilacs. He had two of them, and they were there when he moved in 15 years ago. This is in Prince Edward Island, mm-hmm. and they're 75 feet away from each other, but both of them did not flower this year.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible they were pruned at the wrong time?
Well, they were pruned last year, but he didn't tell me what time of the year he pruned
yeah.
them.
In my experience, Barb, when lilacs don't flower, it's because they get pruned in the fall. And that's exact wrong time to prune lilacs if you want them to bloom. What happens with the spring flowering plants, and you'll see it on rhododendrons right now, azaleas, yeah. and if you look closely at your lilacs, the flower buds are there now. Same with forsythia, any of the early blooming magnolias, the next spring's flower buds are there now. So we say, this plant is too big. I need to prune it. And we prune it now. We prune off all those buds that will not be there next spring to open. So that's the most traditional reason why lilacs don't bloom is they've been pruned in the fall. Otherwise, okay. it could be environmental.
So when would be the best time to prune?
Always, the rule is always you prune any of your flowering shrubs right after they flower. So lilacs typically bloom in May or June. Once they're finished blooming, go to town with your pruning. Magnolias, forsythia, any of those early blooming plants, go crazy after they're finished blooming. And then that's it. Don't touch them again until the following year.
So next year, he won't have many blooms if there's nothing on the trees now.
That's right. Well, if they've been pruned now, like if they haven't been pruned since last year, then that's great. Just tell him to leave them alone. He should have flowers next spring.
Okay.
Okay.
Any amendments to soil or anything like that?
Oh, always a good idea. Always, I mean, lilacs are pretty tough plants. They handle just about any soil, but always a good idea. If you can amend your soil, improve your soil, add organic matter, whether it's composted manure or, you know, composted leaves or your own homemade compost, you know, keep that soil supplemented around any of your favorite plants.
Okay.
You know, not touching the trunks, of course, and mulch. I've been doing that at my place, getting the lawn away from the trees, getting the mulch down. I like lawn, sort of. I just don't like the lawn taking all the nutrients. I'd rather that the bit of rain we're getting goes to the roots of the trees, not the roots of the lawn.
Yeah. Well, their lawns, everywhere we were, the grass is crunchy.
Right. They've had a drought out east.
No
I know.
Rain.
I know. It's so unusual for the Maritimes. And unusual. Yeah. And that might add something too going on with, you know, environment matters, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Barb.
Thanks very much for the call there, Barb.
Thank you.
Fabulous. I do want to do one thing, Charlie, because right at the top of the show, we had a first time caller and he did not get his garden wings, John.
That's right.
So there you go. I want to send those garden wings out to John.
Yeah, good for you.
I certainly appreciated him calling. And while we have the time as well, if you have a question that you want to send Charlie during the week or sometimes a picture, a photograph that you think would be helpful in the conversation, Charlie's email is c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Okay, so you can always reach out to her that way as well.
Thank you, Dean. And this, you know, talking about all this environmental impacts and how every year is a new year and, of course, brings its own challenges out in the garden. This year, I don't know whether it's because of the dryness. I've seen a lot fewer mosquitoes. I don't remember this.
Yes, as well, it has not been a bad mosquito year, no?
At all, no, because there's no standing water.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of praying mantids at my house.
Okay.
I've got one that's probably 10 centimeters. That's, yeah, about 4 inches big. Two of them. They're loving my front door. I don't know why. It's hot in the West, but every afternoon I'm like trying to shoo them into the garden. They're like, no, we want to sit on your front door. And they're big. Like you could trip over them. One is, and they're different colors, right? They go green, they go brown. So, and a bunch of little ones in my garden. So it's
good. Have you taken any pictures?
Yes, I have.
Send me a picture of one of the praying mantises. I'd love to see it.
I'll send you right after the show.
Okay. And have you got any gardening things? I know we've got like 30 seconds. Anything in the garden you're doing today?
Well, I made tomato soup yesterday, and I've been roasting red peppers. It's a red pepper year for me this year. So I've got that to deal with. And I'm out more watering, haul some more hoses. That's what I do. It's not been a fun year that way, but things are alive, and that's what counts. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Good luck with your show tonight. I hope you have electricity. Thanks, Owen. You look so cute today. Mm-hmm. Keep it up. Thanks to all our great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.